Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text we consider today is written in Paul's second letter to the Corinthians, chapter 12, verses 7 to 9, as follows. So to keep me from becoming conceited because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, a thorn was given me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to harass me, to keep me from becoming conceited. Three times I pleaded with the Lord about this, that it should leave me. But he said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me." So far the Holy Word. My pleasure and privilege, as always, to bring you an important gospel message in the name of Christ Jesus, who provides strength for this life and salvation for the next, your fellow redeemed. I read once about a woman who was an avid gardener. Flowers were her specialty. She was especially proud of her roses. She entered every flower competition she could, and she ended up winning a lot of them. Of course, eventually she reached kind of a regional finals in flower judging. She chose the most perfect rose in her garden, confident that that beautiful flower couldn't lose. So she was kind of bewildered when the judges passed over her entry and favored someone else's, and she asked for an explanation. And a judge took her aside and said, "The flower of your rose is perfect, but the particular specimen you chose has no thorns. And without thorns, it is not a perfect rose." Like a rose, every Christian life contains not only flowers, but thorns as well. Not only the beautiful fruits of faith, the good works that we in Christ are able to do in our daily lives, but the thorns and trial of hardship as well. You know, we Christians, we're sinners and saints, and therefore we are forgetful. We tend to forget easily who it is who supplies all our wants and needs day by day. We're especially forgetful when it comes to our most important need, our salvation. And because of that, God often sends thorns into our lives as his way of reminding us where these blessings really come from. They're little memory refreshers, and they're often painful, but necessary. The Apostle Paul found that out in his own life, and he shares that with us this morning. Let's take a closer look at the Word of God and thank God for the thorns that he has sent to us. Have you ever experienced a feeling of solitude, like you're the only person for miles and miles around? You can get it from nature. If you're way out in the forest or way out in the country, if you're on a tractor by yourself and there's acres and acres between you and the next person. Sometimes you can feel that way in a crowd if you're the only person who knows a certain secret. You have a burden to bear that you don't share with others. Well, the Apostle Paul was kind of standing alone in a certain way. He was in a unique position. He had the honor of being the first missionary to bring the good news of the gospel beyond the boundaries of the Jewish state to the Gentile world at large. He was the pioneer in the missionary field. The fact that there had come to be Christians in nearly every part of the known civilized world at that time, the time of Paul's writing this letter, was in large part due to his own work, what he had done for Christ. What an accomplishment. What an important man. What a temptation it must have been to feel proud of his accomplishments, to boast about his many special revelations from Christ Jesus, to consider himself to be a pretty exceptional human being. Well, God saw how great a temptation that would be for the great apostle. So God gave Paul a reminder, just a little something to jog his memory from time to time. Something to bring him up short, something to remind him who was the creator and who was the created being. Who was the master and who the servant. Paul says, "So to keep me from becoming conceited because of the surpassing greatness of the revelation, thorn was given me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to harass me, to keep me from becoming conceited." Paul was given a thorn in the flesh. Over the centuries, a lot of people have speculated about what that thorn might have been. Thorn is a figurative expression we assume he uses here. Some think it might have been a nagging illness, like recurring malaria or a mild form of cerebral palsy. Some people think it might have been some kind of speech impediment. You can imagine how annoying that would have been for a man whose full-time job is preaching the gospel. But whatever it was, it troubled him. It bothered him. So much, in fact, that he begged God over and over to take the thorn away. But he said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness." God didn't take that thorn away. He left it in place as a necessary reminder to Paul. And eventually, the apostle learned to actually thank God even for his thorn. Does it sound familiar to you, besides the fact that you knew about this part of Paul's life before? It should. Because God uses the same system of painful reminders in your life. Sorrow, troubles, sickness, disease. These are painful reminders, bad things that God incorporates to a good purpose. To remind you. To remind you of a couple of facts that it's essential that you remember. The first is to remind you that he is the one who supplies all your earthly needs. And the second is that he's the one who supplies you with your salvation. A father and his young son were watching a bridge being built near their home. It was in the final stages, spanning a deep river. And the boy was startled when the wooden supports of the bridge were systematically blasted away with charges. He asked his father why the workers were doing that, and the father said, "Well, those wooden pilings were only temporary supports. Now they're being removed so that the bridge can settle on the permanent steel pilings that lie underneath them." Sometimes we Christians are bewildered when the things that we trust in, and we tend to trust in our money or our jobs or our health, those things seem to collapse underneath us. Well, God sometimes allows these artificial supports to be removed out from under us to remind us that we should rest all our confidence in Him for our earthly needs. Now, it's no fun when it happens. In fact, it's another of life's thorns, a painful reminder that we have to rely on the Lord to provide safety and health and money and happiness, everything. He is the foundation that is rock solid and will never collapse. We don't really know God's faithfulness and His love for us and the fact that He holds us in His hand until He shows us our own weakness. And you all know what I'm talking about. You all are right now thinking about a particular thorn, perhaps, in your life. Severe illness, disease, injury that you suffered. Nothing like a serious health problem to make us realize how frail we are and drive us back to God. We cry out to God like Jeremiah did in Jeremiah 17. "Heal me, O Lord, and I will be healed. Save me, and I will be saved, for you are the one I pray." Maybe you or a loved one has experienced an accident lately or a close brush with death. That'll make you think, certainly. makes you stop and think about who it is that's watching you around the clock and who protects you from hidden dangers. The psalm writer uses the picture of the immovable city of Jerusalem, which is protected all around it by hills. He says in Psalm 125, "Those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion, which cannot be moved, but abides forever. As the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds his people from this time forth and forever." Maybe you've been having money problems lately, wondering if you'll be able to make the mortgage, or even where the next meal will come from, or the next pair of shoes for your children. That could be your thorn. Maybe God's trying to remind you that it's He, not you, that supplies your daily bread. Jesus tells us, "Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Aren't you of more value than they? Therefore, do not worry, saying, 'What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear?' For after all these things the Gentiles seek. Your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you." Well, that brings us to the bigger and more important consideration, I think, of today's text. It is a mistake to trust ourselves to supply our own earthly needs, but it's a much bigger mistake to trust in ourselves for our own salvation. And God has a painful reminder for that too. Did you ever think of your sins and the guilt you feel over your sins as a thorn that God uses in your life? Well, the Bible says that God will make all things that work all things to work together for the good of them that love God. Why could he not also use the sinfulness that we see and detest in ourselves, our own sins? Yes, our conscience, the guilt that we feel over the things we haven't done or the things that we've done wrong. Our own sin God can use for our good. How? Well, he uses those things to turn us away from our own failed attempts to please him, our own attempt to justify ourselves. That's the way he leads us in repentance to the justification that Christ provides, to Jesus' perfect righteousness. Paul says in chapter 7 of this book, "Godly sorrow produces repentance to salvation, not to be regretted." Well, what is that thorn in our flesh that God uses? It's called the law. When we look down the list of God's commandments, the reality that we haven't kept any of them slaps us in the face. We realize that we haven't the power to please God on our own. Everywhere we turn, we see reminders. The sins, the failures that confront us, how truly weak we are. And that drives us, as it should, to the grace of our God. He reassures us, as he does in our text, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." Paul says that he is glad to rejoice in his infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon him. God thanks God. Paul thanks God for his thorns. We should too. God wants to provide for your salvation, so allow him to do so. Throw off your own righteousness and trust only in his power and the righteousness of Christ. Christ kept all the commandments that you never keep. He kept them in your place perfectly and wholly. In your place, he walked the narrow path of righteousness through life. In each of those spots along the way where you stumble, where you forsake your God, where you struck off on your own and sinned against God, in every one of those places, Jesus fulfilled the law perfectly for you. John says in 1 John 3, "He was manifested to take away our sins, and in him there is no sin." And when the time came for all the sins of the world to be counted up, Jesus signed for that on the dotted line. The weight of the rough wooden cross was heavy on his shoulders as he walked to Calvary. But it was nothing compared to that other weight. In fact, the cross was light as a feather compared to the crushing burden of the sins of all mankind, your sins and mine. Even so, Jesus picked them up, and he carried them. Every bloody, agonizing step, all the way to Calvary. And there, he got rid of it. He got rid of our sins once for all. Paul says, God made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Because of what Jesus did for us, we're free from all of our sins and mistakes and errors, and we're alive to God in Christ. We're ready and waiting to take the place God has provided for us next to our Savior in heaven, the place he earned for us when he shed his precious blood. He's the one who earned our place there, and God sees the need to send reminders of that into our lives. Painful as those reminders may be. But when he sends them, when he sends thorns into your flesh, we can rejoice with Paul that the power of Christ is resting upon us. God sends thorns into your life, painful little irritants, to remind you of your weakness, and also to teach you to depend on him for our physical and spiritual needs. Gifts. God grant that we may see these thorns for what they are, really gifts. Gifts that lead eventually to the beauty of life everlasting. Things that he uses to tend to his sheep, you and me, in this sinful world. And then we'll understand with St. Paul that our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Amen.